Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be back in the studio with my beautiful sisters, Tara, Sandy, and Shelley. And we have been in Tara Rye's Bible study, which is not yet published, Wishing Forward, 7 Moments Jesus Prayed.
Ooh, you go, girl.
I got it right. Finally, after a couple of years of doing this.
Do you know, I think we're on the 4th week and I haven't even told what this chapter is called.
Is that funny?
We're pretty slow, but it's okay. There's a lot of good dialogue.
I don't know that I've said that at all. I don't know that I told you. It's about Jesus prayed in times of great revelation. And for those of you that haven't been listening, clue in. We're doing the transfiguration, the moment that he took the disciples, James, Peter, James, and John, up to the mountain while he was praying and how he was transformed. And thinking through that, we've been talking about these 7 moments that Jesus prayed. And this one here is essentially the 6th moment that we've looked at. And the thing that we've dialogued and talked about through the last 6 months has been that wishing forward means that which he is desiring, moving towards what's in his heart to fulfill. And we've been talking all along that it's to get to Jerusalem, specifically to the cross, to fulfill the will of the Father, which the Father sent him upon this earth for one purpose, and that was to die on the cross, that our sins would be forgiven. And as I pondered Jesus in the transfiguration with the disciples, I thought, God, what is it that he was really wishing forward towards? What was it that he was moving toward? And it seems like initially he gives me a few ideas, but then the more I study it and the more I study it, it's like each time I look at it, I see a new truth of something that he was wishing towards. The first was is that, one, he is wishing towards the cross. But in particular, at this particular moment, he's wishing forward to a great revelation to be made known. He was wishing forward towards glory's revelation, the glory of heaven to be revealed, that the disciples might observe, the apostles see for themselves firsthand the glory of the Father. And then as I was thinking about that, it goes even further. It's the glorious appearing of both the physical resurrection of the dead, but it's also wishing forward towards the transcendence for those that if Christ appear, there's going to be people alive when he appears. It will be the transcendence, and that they will not die. They will just rise. Now, I'm going to sit here for a second because I want to explain that.
Please do.
Because this here, y'all, is so cool. And it's so deep. And it just shows how Scripture reveals Scripture. Okay. What do we know about Moses and Elijah?
They are no longer with us at this point.
Okay. Right. They are no longer. They are Old Testament heroes of faith. What we know about Moses is that Moses was buried by God. Scripture says no one has been able to locate him. God buried him on Mount Moab. And that's somewhere, I think, like in Exodus, I think like 34 or something. I can't remember exactly at the moment. And so God is who buried Moses. Nobody ever was able to locate him. What we know about Elijah's death is that Elijah did not die. In fact, it says in, I think, 2 Kings somewhere, it says that maybe 1 Kings 19, somewhere in the Kings, that he was caught up in a whirlwind and ended up in heaven. Mm-hmm. He never died. Mm. The commentator said Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. Moses represents those who die and then rise to glory. Elijah represents those who will transcend to glory without death.
Okay.
Because Elijah did not die.
Okay. And just a quick question. Mm-hmm. Are there any others that didn't die but were taken up? I mean, that you can think of? Is it only like Elijah?
Enoch, it says he was no more.
Enoch? I think so. But what about Mary? Did she die or was she taken up?
Scripture doesn't say anything at all.
Okay.
Doesn't say, and I don't know what historical tradition
says. I was just asked that the other day, so
that's
I didn't know.
That's a good question. I don't know what historical tradition says. Okay. And I wouldn't know what the difference is between Protestant versus Catholic tradition on what that, because I haven't researched that.
Okay.
But Scripture does not say anything one way or the other.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, side note.
It's silent. No, that's good. Good question. Don't know the answer. Okay. And so the wishing forward, what we have to understand is that Jesus actually understands it's a revelation of his return and the rising up of the dead, mm-hmm. as well as those that are alive, that are here present, walking on this earth. And that is symbolically represented through Moses and Elijah. Now, how cool is that?
That's amazing. So the people that are dead when Jesus comes back
will rise.
Will rise.
Yes. This is the resurrection of the dead.
How amazing.
And those who are alive will rise. And they call that and they call that the transcendence, because they don't actually, it's not a resurrection, it's a transcendence. Resurrection is they've been dead and they come to life. The transcendence is when you're alive and you just come up and join him. Okay.
Okay. That's amazing.
Is that cool? All right. Kind of deep.
But I love it. Who
would have thought that that's what we would have learned? But there is a reason why Moses and Elijah are there. Okay, so Sandy, here's one of my questions I was asking. I'm looking at it, and when I was reading this passage, now let's go back. I got to go back to Luke 9. I was looking at Luke 9, and it says, you know, about 8 days he's praying, he appears, and it says two men mm-hmm. appear. And then in the NIV translation, it says Moses and Elijah appeared in their glorious splendor. Now, in some translations, it says that they aren't named until Peter named them. It just says two men, and then it says, he says, Moses and Elijah. And so I had read that, and I thought, well, how did they know it was Moses and Elijah? If two men are talking to Jesus, how did they know? Mm. And so I started doing some research to try to figure this out. And J.W. McGarvey, commentator, he said, you know, most likely they heard the conversation, because what they were, they are literally talking to him about his time of preparation to exit. I mean, they're talking to him about what's about to be. And that in of itself is such a sweet kiss from God. Jesus is praying to the Father. He's gone up to the mountain to pray. He's praying and he begins to transform. If he's praying, most likely we can guess that he's praying about the cross and dying for our sins, because that's what he came to do.
Right.
We can make an assumption. Scripture doesn't tell us. But let's make an assumption. I'm going to make an assumption, okay, in that aspect, that that's what he's praying about. God says, I hear you, son. Let me send Moses and Elijah to encourage you as you prepare for your exodus.
Mm-hmm. What a father.
Mm-hmm. I am like, God, that's amazing. I mean, that is is the law and the prophets in skin to the Son, representing the entire Old Testament. Now, what does Scripture tell us that Jesus came to do with the law and the prophets? Not to condemn them, but to fulfill them. Mm. Okay, so right here in this triangle of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, we have actually a visual representation of redemption, of God presenting to us the law, God sending the prophets to help us to draw back to him, and then God sending the Son to fulfill both the law and the prophets. And so Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets, and Jesus representing the fulfillment of redemption. Is that amazing? All of that in this little itty-bitty moment right here. Mm. God allows them to see the fulfillment of all that he has revealed from Genesis to Revelation and completion.
And that's what I think is so beautiful about the word and how we can pass over a treasure like that. You know, we were talking in the break just about reading the word and getting more, you know, passionate about it. And I think this is the whole purpose of the radio show, is to get the listeners to be passionate about the word of God, because when you read it just over, you would never receive the gems. And obviously the treasure that the Lord gave Tara, it's not going to be the same for everybody, but still, if you read the same passage, like in different translations, you know, 5 times through the week, he's going to speak specifically to you, you know, in amazing ways. And your, you know, your passion and your flame will be rekindled.
Mm-hmm. Completely. Absolutely. You get brighter. You get brighter. Okay, so ultimately it comes down to a question. Scripture tells us that they were exhausted. They were so tired. And then as they began to look and see their glory, and they notice that they're about to leave. And I thought, isn't that it? What prevents me from being fully awake? Physically. I just want us to think physically. Don't go spiritually. Physically. What are things that hinder you from being fully awake just physically? Things in your life. I wrote
stress.
Down. Stress. Ooh, Sandy, I didn't put that one. I'm going to write that one down. That's good. Stress. Life can be stressful, can't it? Mm. And it does cause me to get foggy mentally, okay? Stress. I put exhaustion.
I was going to say fatigue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. What about routine? If something's kind of routine, monotonous, boring, you kind of get slow.
Kinda put you to sleep.
There's nothing worse than when you've driven 2 miles and you have no recall because of the routine. You're not fully awake, right?
I do that all the time.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. From one room to the other.
Oh, that's crazy. What about the time of day? About every day at 1 o'clock, mm-hmm. I feel the overwhelming need to sleep. I do every day about 1 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's time of day. What about your natural clock? Mm-hmm. Everybody at night, what's your time that you go, your body says, okay, I'm done?
About 8:39.
Okay. Shelley, what's yours?
Well, it's probably about 8:39, and then about 10 o'clock I get a second wind.
you need to go to sleep before 10. How about you?
I'm a morning person, but 8:39, I want to go to bed then.
We really are the same, aren't we, you guys? 8:39. You know, right, because winter right now, I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock, and by 9 o'clock, I'm like, leave me alone. Anybody come in here, I'm going to bite your head off. It's the middle of the night. You know.
For sure.
Okay. Physically, there's things that hinder us from being fully awake. I also added poor eating habits, mm-hmm. poor time management, illness.
Lack of exercise.
Oh, okay. Let's add that one down. Lack of exercise.
Hung up on that one.
Boredom. Yeah. All right. What spiritually awakens you? No. What spiritually causes you? Let's do this one first. What spiritually causes you not to be fully awake?
Not in the word.
Aha. Mm-hmm. No word. Okay, good.
Draining people.
Ah.
What was that?
Draining people. People that drain you.
People that like to just call and tell you all their problems all day long. Yeah.
Right. And somebody never, that's, it's a victim mentality.
Needy.
Somebody
that's,
well,
needy.
If somebody's not willing to move outside of their crisis, they want to just
stay
there's
put. There's a difference between somebody that just needs a little encouragement than somebody that never can see the light of day.
Right. There is a big difference. Okay. What else? What causes you not to be fully spiritually on target? Because they were sleeping.
Accountability.
He took them up the mountain. Come pray with me. Here, come on. And they're exhausted. Mm-hmm. They're not spiritually alert. I wrote down ignorance, assumptions, wrong motives, lies, prejudices, unwillingness, sin, laziness, complacency, fear. These are some of the things that might cause me to become spiritually lacking, to name a few. Lack of the word, as Sandy said. Lack of prayer. Ha ha.
Convenience, comfort.
Okay, good. I'm going to add that. I didn't have that one.
Because people just, you know.
Yeah.
Lack
complacency.
Of fellowship, too. You know, you need fellowship so much.
Isolation.
Yeah. Yes, that's a good
that's
one.
Word.
Yeah. There's the word. Isolation, yeah. Isolation is dangerous. That's one of my favorite things to say. Okay. Physically, what helps you to wake up?
Coffee.
Oh. Caffeine.
Diet as Sabrina Pepsi. Demanded from Nick, our producer, get me
Pepsi.
Pop.
Get me I don't even pop. Think I said please.
Yeah, just get me pop. I need pop.
Sorry, it was one of those mornings.
Physically, pop does, coffee does, caffeine, tea.
Food.
Mm-hmm.
Proteins. Yeah. I wrote down, what about?
Working out.
Working out. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Exercise.
Exercise.
Gets you going.
Anybody use an alarm clock?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I was gonna say that. Yeah, the alarm clock. And not so much this snooze button.
What about time? Just after a certain amount of time, you're just awake. Mm-hmm. It's just your body, natural rhythm. You will automatically wake up. I wrote light.
Sunshine. Sun.
You know, if there's light. Mm-hmm. What about a crisis? That'll wake you up, won't it?
Yes, it will.
What about a parent sometimes is the one that wakes people up. They're listening. Sometimes it's a spouse maybe the one that wakes a person up, you know. Or routine can also wake you up. You're just in the habit of waking up. Yep. And so even though I go to bed at midnight during the holidays when my kids are home, I'm still waking up in the 4 to 5 range. I am wore out because my body is accustomed to that time frame. So then I'm exhausted. It mm-hmm. starts to take its toll. What will spiritually wake you up?
The word and the fellowship word. With That's the
it.
Word.
That's it. That's it. Word, fellowship with the word. What else?
Praying.
Worshiping.
So worship songs.
Oh, I love that in my house all the time.
Always. If you don't put it on, it's just like things take over you without that.
The intrusive thoughts and everything.
Yeah, it
does. Okay, some things that I wrote that spiritually can awaken somebody. A revelation, like they're having a revelation. Mm-hmm. It can be pain. Mm-hmm. It can be suffering. It can be love. It can be confession, repentance, need, wisdom, understanding and circumstances, needing counsel, needing knowledge, fear of God.
Answered prayer.
Answered prayer. Mm. These are things that awaken us. The disciples are here, and they have the glory of heaven being revealed. And spiritually, they needed to be awakened. Mm. And the voice of heaven says, "This is my son. I chose him. Listen." Now, what you have to understand, they had Moses standing there, and they had Elijah. They had the law, and they had the prophets. The one that represented the prophets of God. Some would say we have to listen to the law. Some would say we can only listen to the prophets. But the Father says, listen to my son. It wasn't to Moses, and it wasn't to Elijah.
I love that.
It was not to them. It was to Jesus. And that's the question we have to end with, and we have to ask ourselves as we are moving forward and we're wishing forward and we're in pursuit of Christ, what is it that I am allowing to cause me to not be spiritually awake? How am I falling asleep? How am I like them, so exhausted that I cannot see what is happening in front of me where a glorious revelation is taking place? What do I need to add into my life so that I can have that glorious revelation that God wants to give me so that I can hear his son? That's what we have to ask ourselves. That's what we have to bring ourselves in humility before God to say, I want it. I want to come to that place. And so as we think through the transfiguration and transformation, the metamorphosis of ourselves, it is through the prayer and the pursuit of seeking the Father and humbling ourselves through the Word and allowing him to make known the Son's voice that makes the change happen in our hearts. I hope that you are bowing before him and allowing him to do that today. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.